Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Vinny and Haney, two opposites attracted by a paycheck. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Andy, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Michael's here starting his first day. We'll hear from him later in the show. Been a long time since Orioles baseball. Not a long time from rock and roll. We're jamming right now with Oriole Hall of Famer. He is on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome in. Talk about a lot of things going on in his world and with baseball. Mike Bordick. Bordy, how you feeling?
Hey, Bob. What's going on, man?
A little of this, a little of that, Mike Bordick. And before we get to the podcast, certainly, with Jerry Coleman, which if you don't win 17 Marconi Awards, there's something wrong in your world there. Mike Bordick, talk about, you know, the start of pitchers and catchers trades. And we saw the big NBA blockbuster with Davis and, of course, Luka Doncic. And you've been traded before at the trade deadline. That was with the Orioles, and you kind of knew that all was going down. But neither of these players got were aware of the seams. It reminds me of Canseco, Ruben Sierra, when you were in Oakland. So if you had a comparable to what happened in the NBA with status of players, two first-team All-NBA guys going to midseason, is there one baseball-wise you can think of?
Oh, my gosh. Wow, Bob. Wow, tough question right off the get-go.
Because Sierra and Canseco was in season, right?
That was as shocking as anything, to be honest with you, because, you know, Jose was the face, really, of the A's. They had some great superstars, but he was the guy. He'd just done 40-40. They've already won or gone to three World Series in a row, right? So he's been MVP. And he is really kind of the face of baseball, I think. Back then, he was the guy that was hitting the screaming home runs on ESPN, right, when they were talking baseball. So, yeah, Jose was big, of course, Ruben Sierra. But the fact of the matter is, the whole baseball industry shut down when they heard Canseco wasn't playing. Is there a trade in the works? And then to hear the haul that Sandy Alderson and the A's got back, right? We got Bobby Witt. We got Ruben Sierra. We got Jeff Russell. I mean, holy cow, starter, bullpen piece, and a five-tool player. So, yeah, it was shocking, and we ended up going to the postseason, so it all worked out.
All right, let's get to the Orioles, who've been to the postseason 2 years in a row, first time that happened in, 50 years? They have been 3 years in a row since, 69, 70, 71, coming off a three-year run, Mike, where they had three straight winning seasons. That hadn't happened since the early 90s. Burns is gone, we know that. Others have moved on, to Santander, McCann, among others. As you look at the team on paper today, and we're talking February 3rd, what kind of ball club are we looking at here? I still think it's a playoff team for sure, but to what level? And that's what the fans obviously want to know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's a nice team. I really do. And I agree with you. I think it's a playoff team. But I think there are a ton of factors, obviously, they're going to come to play, because I think there are teams that are poised to be in good spots in the American League East if they can stay healthy. Because, you know, Tampa, as bad as they were last year, and it seemed like their organization was falling apart, all of a sudden they're healthy and their rotation is ridiculous. And they could make one or two moves offensively to all of a sudden be another winning team in the East. So it's going to be a challenge. I think all the moves the Orioles have done, early on I was a little bit critical, like, let's go. When are we going to really get after this thing? But I think what they did is they filled their roster. So they are, I think, doing a smart thing right now, which is trying to create more depth. So many teams got crushed with injuries, Orioles being one of the top ones. And it showed up immediately, the actual lack of depth and the depth needed to compete in the postseason. The Los Angeles Dodgers have two full all-star teams with pitchers and bullpen guys on and on and on. So they're definitely going to be the team to beat. But the Orioles trying to find a way to create depth in their organization, I think, is really, really smart. Really smart.
Now, Jackson Holliday at second base. A year ago this time, Mike, he was the number one prospect in baseball, started the year down at Norfolk, was playing like the number one player in baseball. Hell, that Norfolk team through April was like a slow pitch softball team, the numbers they were putting up. As you watch him heading into this season as the projected second baseman, we'll talk about him defensively. What needs to happen for him to become better than average, maybe even really good, manning that bag at second? Because we know Gunner's going to be the shortstop for the foreseeable future here.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, Bob, you and I have talked about this a lot. It's just the managing of his internal clock, understanding that the major league game is so much different than any other game. And you have to have a sense of urgency from jump street, first pitch on, every pitch, the importance of urgency. And he didn't have that last year, and it was really noticeable. And it's just, it's a click off, and I think it's players that have to internalize that and understand it. And I think we talked about it last year, so that means I think internally in their player development, they realize that too. So that is probably the most important thing he needs to work on. And if he can handle that just a little bit better, I think that's going to help him calm down offensively. And I think we're going to see some pretty good things from him.
Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan on this Monday. Now, Gunnar Henderson defensively, Mike. And he had a lot of errors in the old stat column yesterday. We know the offense is going to play, and he's going to hit 40-some home runs before it's all said and done, maybe as soon as this year. But when you watch him defensively, we know this ceiling is really high. How does he get to Gold Glove level defense?
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing. I think he's such an incredible athlete. I don't think he realizes how good he is yet, where he can control, you know, his body and space just a little bit more. He does not have to go flying through the ball every time, borderline out of control. You know, I think he can just be a better athlete out there on the field. Not that he's not great, but now it's about body control, a little bit of spatial awareness, back to that internal clock again, and just how you work yourself in space, because he's got a plus arm. He's really a five-tool athlete, and now it's just harnessing it and becoming, you know, maybe a little bit more focused, just a little deeper into his, you know, preparation, understand what he can do with his feet, the depth he can cover in front of him and behind. So there's a lot of room, I think, for improvement. And even with the amount of errors he had last year, though, dude, I'd take that any time. He's so much fun to watch. And just trying to watch him progress, I think, is going to be a blast, because he's incredible.
Hey, Bordy, like, pitchers and catchers come in 9 days, and then the vets come after that. Now, in the NFL, like Jerry Rice used to always come with the rookies, and to me that's kind of like pitchers and catchers. Were you the type of guy that likes to go in early? And nowadays, do most players go in with the pitchers and catchers? And some are probably already in Sarasota now.
Yeah, I always like to go early. And I think a lot of players do. Well, especially guys that are from the north, right? It takes a little while to kind of acclimatize yourself, getting your spikes into the dirt, Your body moves differently. There's just a different type of adrenaline. And I always like to try to get that going early, get the aches and pains out of the way, and actually try to dive into the grind as fast as I could. Start setting my routines, understanding, you know, that importance of focus. Obviously, early on, it's just way more relaxed. So, you know, you could chill in the afternoon. It's just not that same kind of intensity. And then as spring training rolls on, you just keep building and building and building and trying to make yourself a little bit better. But nowadays, I feel like most players are probably already down there. Why not? The food in and of itself is enough to get me into that clubhouse. Pretty amazing how they eat, take care of themselves nowadays. And I think this young team really cares about that. And I think they're down there early, probably.
Hey, Bordy, how will the new coaches, like, indoctrinate themselves to the guys? Like, have phone calls in the winter time, start to make, you know, some contacts then? And, you know, what will the hitting coaches, what will they try to do to gain the confidence of the players?
Yeah, that's the most important thing, trying to gain confidence. But there's a fine line there, too, as you know. Vinny, in sport. I mean, your credibility can get thrown out if all of a sudden you're too pushy, if all of a sudden you don't understand truly what it takes to play 162 games and go through failures and trying to pull yourself out. There's a lot, obviously, involved to be a really good major league coach. So first and foremost is to try to develop a relationship. And I'm sure all these coaches have been in touch with, you know, their players throughout the winter, not being too pushy, just to kind of introduce themselves. And throughout spring training, this relationship builds with good communication, staying positive, going through work sessions, but not forcing maybe what you believe on hitters, big league hitters especially, because you better be able to adapt and adjust. And that is the name of the game, period. So there's not one finite way to hit in the big leagues. It's really all between your ears, and how these coaches kind of manage that, I think, is probably the most important thing.
Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fed. All right, Bordy, last thing for you. You and Jerry Coleman. And Jerry Coleman, personally friend of mine, and I'm cool with Jerry Coleman, always have been. But tell everyone why you and Jerry are going to get together, and it's going to be like, you know, I don't know, Lennon, McCartney, Richardson, Jagger, Plant Page, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, Abbott and Costello.
Right. Yeah, Fred Neffel, maybe.
Yeah. Listen, I've known Jerry for years, man, but I obviously a young player back in the early 90s, and I always respected him, and I honestly respected all people in media, but he set himself apart, and you know how hard it is to stay in this business and be a part of, you know, legitimate kind of media and covering teams and things like that. And he's done it for a long time. So I think there's a lot of credibility there. Listen, he sees both sides of things. Sometimes he can be a little bit hard, but, you know, I think most times he can back it up. And I am really excited to kind of take on this challenge with him. Talk Oriole baseball, talk current affairs in baseball, have some great guests on. You know, we've been throwing things around for a while now. And just to think about, you know, some of the players that I got to play with coming up, I think fans would love to hear that. I mean, Dennis Eckersley, the stories that those guys had, Deuce Gossage, some of the great legends in the game, and, of course, the current players as well. So, you know, Bob and Vinny, I love talking baseball. So I'm going to have fun doing it, and I hope a lot of people tune in.
Bordy, we will be tuning in. Appreciate your time. Say hello to Jerry Coleman for us. And Mike, as we're getting closer and closer to baseball, we'll be talking to you a lot as BBT is less than 2 months away. How about that?
Let's go, baby. I'm fired up.
Let's do it. All right, Bordy.
Thanks, Bordy.
There's Mike Bordick, everyone. Oriole Hall of Famer. We'll come back, whip around what happened on this day in sports, what happened this weekend in sports, a lot. We got Sean Devaney from Heavy.com talking about the trades that went down. It's not even the trade deadline. It's Thursday. But blockbuster deals all over the place. And maybe the biggest news of them all, the Wizards went on the road. What in the wild world of sports is going on around here?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. No real musical themes. Just going with Nolan's flow as always. Sean Devaney, Heavy.com. Talking about the big trades happening over the weekend in the world of the NBA, which included Luka Doncic to the Lakers for Anthony Davis. Other players were involved. Yeah, that would Sean. De'Aaron Fox goes from Sacramento to San Antonio. Three-teamer Zach LaVine goes from the Bulls to the Kings. Kevin Huerter, former Terp, along with Zach Collins, former first-round pick out of Gonzaga, by the way. And Trey Jones, they go to the Chicago Bulls. So a lot of zaniness going on in that one there. And Fox pretty much told the Kings, I ain't sticking around for the long.
Bob, how does Huerter fit in at the Bulls? Will he be one of their
start?
Oh, good.
Because he's falling out of the rotation, as we do when we get the scores here with the local kids. So he'll probably get an opportunity to run that role. They have Josh Giddey. They've got the kid from North Carolina. His name escapes me. But Kobe White. So they stink, the Bulls, let's be honest here. And maybe they'll be moving their center before it's all said and done. But Huerter will get a chance to play, and he'll join up with Jalen Smith. Now, they weren't teammates at Maryland, because remember, Huerter left after his sophomore year.
Right.
If he would have stayed for his junior year, then he and Jalen would have been a freshman, and he would have been a junior on that team. But he bounced, third NBA team, signed a big deal a couple years ago, got $60 million. So he ain't hurting for dough. Now just trying to find a role.
Yeah, Herter blew away the combine, wasn't it?
And he had that great playoff run for the Hawks in the bubble.
Yeah,
and had his moments for sure with the Kings, but now on the move. So other move, Jimmy Butler said to Golden State, "I'm not signing a long term deal." He wants to go to Phoenix, but they got to get rid of Bradley Beal, who's got a full no trade clause. So good luck with that. Speaking of trades in the NFL, and we'll talk about this with Jason Cole, 12:30. Myles Garrett wants out of Cleveland. We're not surprised by this, are we?
No. I mean, you get tired of losing. And he's an awesome player. He's a great player. He just wants to win. He wants to go somewhere where he has a chance. And they're in a rebuild. They don't have a quarterback. And when you're picking second in the draft, yeah, you're rebuilding. So, and he's getting... He's been around for a little bit. What is he, 29 maybe? Yeah, they just want to win. They just want to win. I mean, he's got all the money he needs. He just wants to win.
Yeah, and they did make the playoffs last year. Stefanski's won Coach of the Year twice.
Yeah.
But like you said, Vinny, Deshaun Watson's not happening.
No.
Hurt again, and he hasn't played well. Forget about, but we can't forget about the off-field stuff, but performance-wise, he's been bad. And he's unhealthy, so they need a dude. And when they have the second pick in the draft, they might take a piss because there's no real quarterback to go after here.
The other thing, Bob, is your owner's a joke in the league.
Jimmy Haslam?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's not comforting either as a player. Will they trade? It would cost a lot. It's going to cost you at least two ones, I would imagine. They're not going to trade him in a division. So, you know, Ravens fans, if you want to, let's go get Myles Garrett. Ain't happening.
Vinny at 81.057, the fan whip around here on this Monday. It's Super Bowl week. Kansas City trying to win three in a row. Speaking of the NBA, last night, Dallas. Well, they got trounced by Cleveland. They lost by literally 43 points last night. But Detroit beat Chicago. Speaking of the Bulls, 127-119. Kate Cunningham's outstanding player. 23, 22, 3, and 15 assists, 3 rebounds. Jalen Smith was sick. Must be going around there. Toronto, 115-108 over the Clippers. Quickly's back.
Yeah.
RJ Barrett at 20. Quickly at 11.6 assists there. And Toronto's actually kind of showing a pulse a little bit. They're getting healthy. Mm-hmm. Scotty Barnes is a stud. So, hey, maybe they might be able to be a pain in the rear end kind of team. Sneaking in that playing stuff. Memphis 132-119 over Milwaukee. Jaren Jackson at 37. Santi Aldama, Loyola Greyhound, about 23 points, 8 boards, 3 assists there. No Ja Morant for the Grizzlies in that one. And still got the win over the Bucks. The college basketball men, Big Ten, Nebraska, the mayor, 77-71 over number 16, Oregon. Ducks have lost 3 in a row, all against ranked teams. And it was Illinois coming from behind to beat Ohio State, 87-79. Maryland will be at Ohio State on Thursday. Rankings come out later today. Terps probably going to be in the back end of the top 25. Remember, Kevin, I get my Kevins mixed up. Kevin Willard will be joining us tomorrow as well. Boxing, David Benavidez, unanimous decision. David Morrell on Saturday night to unify the lightweight championships. An appropriate decision, but a competitive scrape nonetheless. Tank Davis will be back in the ring on March 1st, so stay tuned for that as we'll be breaking it down against D.C.'s Lamont Roach. Yeah, a little Baltimore D.C. going on here. Baseball, Jack Flaherty signed with the Tigers, 2 years, $35 million. Opt out after one, $20 million guaranteed this year.
Yeah,
and they're expected to be good. Remember, they were the surprising little team last year.
So, Flaherty goes back to a familiar, you know, place where he's been. And Bob, I mean, they know him, and I'm guessing he didn't have a lot of options.
Yeah, because when the Orioles went with Charlie Morton and Sagano, there were talks that he could come back, but we'll see. Now, Jack Flaherty, hey, not a cheap day at the office. $20 million, come on down. Bring it on, ladies and gentlemen. All right, this day in sports history, it's February 3rd. Maryland Hoops, 1996 at Cole. Terps beat Georgia Tech 88-74. Yellow Jackets ranked number 25. X-ray hip, Keith Booth, Baltimore. Dwayne Simpkins, now head coach, American U. All but 15 points each. Stephon Marbury, freshman phenom at 26 in the loss for Georgia Tech 2002. A Cole, third-ranked eventual national champ, Maryland. Beats NC State 89-73. Juan Dixon at 27. Lonnie Baxter 16. Byron Mouton at 13-6. 2002 at New Orleans, Super Bowl 36. New England stunned the Rams. Rams were 14 point favorites in this game. Adam Vinatieri, 48 yard field goal as time was running out. Fox on the call. Pat Summerall, John Madden. Tom Brady was most valuable player. Let's see. Mariah Carey. National anthem halftime. U2, 86.8 million people watch that ball game. 2008 Super Bowl 42, Glendale, maybe even bigger upset. Giants beat the undefeated New England Patriots 17-14. Eli Manning MVP. Remember the touchdown pass to Plaxico?
Oh yeah.
Arguably the greatest offense ever, could only put two touchdowns on the board. Fox on the call there. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, national anthem. Jordan Sparks, halftime. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. 97.5 million watch this game. And then on this day, 12 years ago, New Orleans, Louisiana, Super Bowl 47. Late, great, and dear to our hearts, doing these awesome things.
And Flacco heaves it down the field. Open as Jones catches it on his back. He can get up. Jones makes the shift. Jones to the end zone, and he's in for the score. What a play by Jacoby Jones.
Jacoby Jones make an argument he should have been MVP of that Super Bowl. Jim Nance, Phil Simms on the call. Super Bowl 47. Ravens beat the 49ers 34-31. Joe Flacco, most valuable player. San Francisco was four-point favorites in this game. 108 million people watched it here domestically. National anthem, Alicia Keys. Halftime, Beyonce and Destiny's Child. And blew the roof off the place, almost literally, definitely blew the power out. That happened on this day 12 years ago. And then this day 6 years ago, New England beat the Rams in a snooze fest of a Super Bowl. Boring, but Tom Brady got another ring, and they beat Kansas City in the AFC Championship game to do it. Because the guy, they had the pick, remember the dude, I can't remember his name, was offsides.
D Ford.
Offsides. That was interception. Kansas City ball game over. And then you had the Edelman fumble punt thing that wasn't. Anyway, yeah, remember when you hated New England? Well, that happened 6 years ago today. We'll come back. Sean Devaney, Heavy.com. Talk about those zany NBA trades. Take your phone calls at 407-583-1057. You want to join us? News from the Nest. How close are the Ravens to getting back to the Super Bowl since they haven't been one in like 12 years? Welcome back to the show from Heavy.com. He's our buddy Sean Devaney. Sean, good morning. What is up?
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Hanging in there, man. And, my brother-in-law said, hey, look at this trade here. It's Anthony Davis for Luka Doncic. And I was like, Devin Booker. What, Luka Garza? What we got going on around here? But no, it was, in fact, Luka Doncic. How did this trade, where was the genesis of it, and how quickly did it get consummated here?
Yeah, it was something that came up relatively recently, you know, just before the weekend, pretty much, is when the Mavericks, the GM, Nico Harrison, decided to approach the Lakers about it and see if there was something to be worked out where the Mavericks could get back Anthony Davis. Of course, that would require giving up Luka Doncic, which Harrison had determined he was ready to do. I think there's, as has been reported, there's some frustration with Doncic in terms of his conditioning and all that stuff. And you can say whether you buy into that or not, but that was at least the genesis of it for the Mavericks. And so with that opportunity there, it was really just a two-team discussion. Eventually, they get the Jazz in as well, just to make the money work. But, you know, basically, this is something where Doncic was offered to the Lakers and really to nobody else. So, however you feel about the return that the Mavericks got, it's certainly a different sort of way to trade a player of Luka's caliber rather than trying to get some other bids in, rather to see, can you get Giannis? Can you get maybe Anthony Edwards? Could you get Jaylen Brown from the Celtics? Rather than than do that, Harrison had exactly in his mind who he wanted, and so it was able to stay under wraps because there was really nothing to leak. It was just a two-team discussion, and they got it over the finish line.
Now, in regards to the immediate impact for both teams, and ironically enough, or coincidentally enough, because at my advanced stage, I don't even know what irony means anymore, Sean, to be honest with you, but who's going to be better off this year because of this trade? Which team, Dallas or L.A.?
Well, I mean, it should be Dallas. You know, I mean, when you look at plugging in a guy like Anthony Davis, you know, just what he can do, assuming he can stay healthy, and that's a concern with him as well. It's kind of there is some it's a little bit of a head scratcher that you know, you trade away Luka Doncic because he can't stay healthy for a guy like Anthony Davis who has a career packed with years in which he couldn't stay healthy. So you know, but if they can get a fully healthy year out of Anthony Davis, then the Mavericks should be pretty well set up to play great defense right away, have enough scoring between Davis and Kyrie Irving, and be able to be competitive in a Western Conference that is pretty wide open. You know, you've got Oklahoma City, and then after that, I think you've got a bunch of teams that you just don't know if you can really believe in. So, you know, the Mavericks should be pretty well set up to compete in that Western Conference down the stretch here. The Lakers are going to need some time to figure out LeBron and Doncic working together. They also need to make at least one more trade, if not maybe two more trades, to try to get some beef up front. You know, they just don't have enough in terms of the power forwards and centers as things stand.
Sean Devaney, Heavy.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, talking about big trades over the weekend. Trade deadline is on Thursday in the NBA. All right, De'Aaron Fox, he goes to San Antonio. Zach LaVine goes to Sacramento. Former Terp Kevin Huerter, among others, goes to Chicago. We'll talk about the two teams most impacted, I guess, for making you know, that next tier, fair to say, Sean West. Spurs first, De'Aaron Fox basically told the Kings he's not really interested in a long-term deal, at least at this time. How does he pair up with Wemby and Chris Paul? And then Sacramento, 2 years ago, they looked like the rising power in the West. Yeah. And now they're just a team that seems to be in, I don't say disarray, but not really, I don't know, formidable. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, they're on that NBA purgatory treadmill that so many teams get on, where you're 43, 44, 45 wins, you got a chance to make the playoffs, but you never get the draft pick that can make you much better. But you're never you know, you're good enough to where you're not going to get much worse. That's sort of where they're stuck. You know, part of the problem is that De'Aaron Fox didn't really develop into the superstar they had hoped. You know, is not a guy who carried them much farther than they were supposed to go. So, you know, that's part of the issue there. And, you know, they were never a great defensive team. I think that's something that always hurt them as well. So, yeah, you know, I mean, they make a trade. No question that San Antonio is the big winner here. It looked like, you know, certainly initially, like they were going to have to give up Stephon Castle. But they managed to make this trade without including him. He's got a really bright future, you know, out of Connecticut. So, you know, he for them to be able to pull this trade off without having to give up all that much. They gave up a few picks, one of which is the Charlotte pick in 2025, and it looks like a first-round pick, except it's lottery-protected. So, there's no way the Kings are going to get that, so it's not an actual first-round pick. It winds up being two second-round picks. And again, you know, that's just to hammer home the fact that the Spurs did not have to give up very much to get a player of Fox's caliber. Pairing him with Victor Wembanyama, this is really a very, very exciting time for the Spurs. They're the big, big winner here.
Hey, Sean, is there going to be a lot more trades this week before the trade deadline here? And then the Lakers, rim protector, who's going to be available for them? Because as you said, they're not done yet.
Yeah, you know, so I do think there'll be a few more trades, because I think Dallas might not be done yet either. You know, they might seek to do a little more tinkering around the edges with what they've got. Certainly the Lakers need to make at least one trade. I wouldn't be surprised to see them make two. I think Austin Reeves now is a guy you can afford to move. Rui Hachimura is a guy you can afford to move. So, you know, you've got a couple guys there who have value around the league that that you can do something with. So, yeah, that's going to be something. Obviously, the Jimmy Butler stuff. I'm sure Jimmy Butler's sitting here watching all this other stuff go down and just wondering, you know, I thought I was supposed to be traded by now. But, you know, he is focused in on getting traded to the Suns. It's sort of Phoenix or bust. And, you know, Miami is not really kowtowing to what he wants. So that situation still has to play out. And you mentioned the Lakers. You know, I mean, you know, Mitchell Robinson is a possibility. The Knicks are frustrated that he hasn't come back yet. The Knicks could possibly afford to gamble on him or a Nick Claxton from Brooklyn. Robert Williams from the Blazers, a huge, huge talent, but can never stay healthy. You know, again, that might be a gamble, but that's sort of the position that the Lakers are in. So, yeah, I expect that we'll see a few more things coming down the pike here.
Sean Devaney, heavy.com. Sean, appreciate the intel as always. Get back to work and we'll talk in a couple of weeks here.
All right. Thank you, guys.
There's Sean Devaney, everybody. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. If you're on the phones, we get you. If we can't get you next segment, we'll get you news from the nest as we talk about the Super Bowl coming up next Sunday. Super Bowl 59, Kansas City trying to win their third straight, be the first team to ever do so. We'll talk more about that game as well with longtime NFL writer Jason Cole. Myles Garrett wants out. Where does he wind up, and what are you giving up to get him? The Pro Bowl game. I saw the high school girls flag football. That one team trounced that other one, by the way. But and then the tug of war, and then the flag football.
How did the Ravens guys do?
I don't know. Only how do our Ravens do?
I'm gonna be honest. I didn't see any of it.
I didn't either.
Yeah, I was watching Ohio State, Illinois.
Came in this morning, I saw the final score. It looked like a bad college basketball game.
Yes.
70 to 60 something. Yes. I mean, that should never be.
But still, in its previous incarnation,
well, it was
nobody
awful.
Was watching that. They weren't even trying. And unfortunately, with all of these all-star festivities, they're becoming like dinosaurs. The NBA all-star game, even the commissioner's like, this sucks. After last year's game, they got the uniforms back, which is great, yeah. But you know the compete level has kind of dipped a little bit. Pitchers throw like six pitches, they yank them out of the game, and the NHL, that's basically become a skills competition.
Three. Yeah.
So, and all-star games are great because it's a contractual incentive, and you get recognized, and rightfully so, for being one of the best at what you do. But the Pro Bowl just was like, whatever, man. And now at least they're trying to make it fun. It was in Orlando.
Yes.
And it wasn't sold out from what I noticed. So, you know, Lamar, Josh Allen didn't show up, for instance. And,
yeah. Well, Bob, like when I went to the Pro Bowl in Hawaii, what did I get, 10,000? I mean, there's nobody in the stands.
Because it's not a game.
No.
And it hasn't been for a while, but still it's a festivity, and, you know, people love football. People want to know what Lamar, you know, had for breakfast yesterday to that level of football interest. But the Pro Bowl, so it's kind of a snooze fest of a sports day, unless you like women's college basketball. There was a ton of that on yesterday.
And I did watch USC and Iowa just because Caitlin Clark's jersey was, they put it to the rafters and stuff, so. That was kind of cool to watch.
All right, let's get out to the phones. We've got news from the Nets coming up top of the hour. We don't get you here. You'll join us, talk some Ravens and Super Bowl. We'll count that early week money. Do we have money to bet on the Super Bowl at 12:15? We'll find out. And then Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer, preview the game with him. Myles Garrett wants out of Cleveland. And I guess if we look at their roster compared to the other three teams in the AFC North, I don't blame it. Because they have no quarterback. Baltimore's got Lamar. Cincinnati's got Burrow. Pittsburgh's the Steelers. They always find a way to eke out 10 wins here or there. And the Browns, you know, Stefanski's taken them to the playoffs two times the last few seasons. But if you don't have a QB that can match up with the two studs in this division, you're probably going to be an also-ran more often than not.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, Barry keeps saying that they're not going to trade him, which he has to do. Otherwise, if you If you just say, yeah, we're going to trade him, then compensation's going to go down. The only way you get decent competition is if there's competition for him. That's the only way they're going to get some valuable out of it. And deservingly, I mean, that dude is, he had 14 sacks this year. He had 22 tackles for loss, 28 quarterbacks. He's a beast. You got to double him. For a team to get him, who's got cap space? You know, I could see maybe, and you're going to have to give up your draft pick. And if you don't need a quarterback, like a New England or somebody that's picking up their, you know, like that. Or even like if you're Tennessee and you don't like the quarterbacks, Bob, I'll give you the number one pick for Myles Garrett. Even up. I'm not giving you anything else.
But his desire is to win a Super Bowl, and I don't think Tennessee is going to be doing that anytime soon. But you never know.
Yeah.
That's why they play the games. We have time for a call, Nolan McGraw. Let's do it. Let's go to PT in Towson. PT, thanks for holding what is happening here on this Super Bowl. Well, it's Super Bowl week. Let's not try to get too much into hyperbole here, if you know what I'm saying.
Bob, I was in no way offended with Bianca Censori's outfit. If I had a body like that, right? Am I wrong? I mean, if I had a body like that,
let's just say I enlarged the picture. It's all awesome.
I mean, I'd be wearing that outfit 24/7 if I had a body like that.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd be able to come to work dressed like that, though. I got to be honest with you.
You'd be run out of that place.
Yes, I would. Rightfully so.
Yeah, absolutely. Vinny Charlie looked great yesterday. Two goals right through the, the guy's legs.
Yeah.
So that was awesome. But Vinny, yeah, I'm with you with Belichick. I mean, it just is what it is. And the same thing's true with Popovich. They're ignorant. They're ignorant to the media, and it should be called out. So I'm glad that these guys are kind of looked on, you know, in a bad way. But let me get to.
And then they all wind up working in the media, yeah, which is the irony of all ironies. How about Bobby Knight? Who treated the media worse than Bobby Knight? And he wound up being an analyst for 3 years for ESPN.
No, I completely agree. Bobby Knight was just a complete bully to the media.
Yes,
and then
was.
They roll over and they hire him for ratings. And that is definitely disappointing. But as far as what you guys were talking about earlier, KC, Philly, Andy Reid, 21-4 off the bye in the regular season, 18-7 in the playoffs with the Chiefs. Reid is six, you know, he's just such a great, yeah, in his last 18 games in the playoffs, Andy Reid, 18 games, he's 16-2. There's no way you're going to put money on Philly. Even though Philly, I think Vinny's the man, but I think we all agree that Philly has more talent. But, man, I'm sure enough not betting against KC, right?
Just say, I've lost many times going against Mahomes. And you can't, man. He finds a way to win it.
That's the way I see it. I mean, he's the best coach working, and it's not debatable. You want to? I mean, the guy. What? You know, it's his sixth Super Bowl. You know, you're going to bet against that guy, against a guy that's, you know, I mean, he's kind of hit or miss, right? He's got a 5-3 playoff record, Sirianni. There's no way. So, who am I rooting for? I'm rooting for the Chiefs because I'm going to bet money on them, right?
Yeah, the fumble, Ruski Roo, Ruski Doo, APT, thanks for the phone call. And, you know, the spread's 1.5, so essentially a pick'em game on a neutral site in favor of the Chiefs because they haven't been this explosive offensive juggernaut that we've seen in years gone by, even though they did put up some crooked numbers against the Bills in the AFC Championship game.
The weapons that they have, like the one game, the old dude had to win the game for him, you know.
Travis Kelce.
Yeah. It's all about Mahomes and it's all about Jones, you know, and their defense.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. If you want to join us for news from the National League, we'll talk to Ravens. Ravens have a new inside linebacker coach. We'll talk about that. Counts of dough, hopefully at 12:15 with buy or sell. And we'll preview Super Bowl 59 with Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer. NFL lunch coming up at 1 and at 1:30 from sportskeeda.com. Tony Pauline, talk about the draft. The Senior Bowl was this past weekend, and Ty Felton showed up for the Terps.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.